Informing America's farmers and ranchers. This is AOA, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
And thank you for joining us here for AOA, Agriculture of America. Great to have you along for the conversation. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Coming up on today's program, we're going to talk markets in just a moment with Darren Newsom from Bar Chart as we kick off the week in the market trade and get to the end of the month of April. We'll also recap the devastating tornadoes and the rough weather we saw here this past weekend and more. What's the outlook for the week ahead? DTN meteorologist John Baranek is going to join us coming up here in segment two for a conversation today. Then after the bottom of the hour, we're going to have a wide-ranging land values discussion, not just ag land values, but really all real estate values and more. Sam Bowers, the 2024 Realtors Land Institute National President from Georgia, is going to join us to discuss coming up here at the midway point of the show today. And then we'll wrap things up, a conversation with Cooper Little, the Executive Director of the Independent Cattlemen's Association of Texas, talking about their upcoming 50th anniversary convention this July in Texas. So looking forward to that conversation as well coming up here later in the show. AOA today brought to you by Cenex. As a farmer, unpredictability is inevitable. Protect equipment with Cenex Premium Diesel to keep you in the field. Learn more at your nearest Cenex location or visit Cenex.com for more details. Well, let's take a look at what is happening in the markets. Joining us now to kick off the show, Darren Newsom, Senior Market Analyst at Bar Chart. Darren, thanks for being with us. And as I mentioned to you off air, our thoughts are with you and everyone in the Omaha area and Southwest Iowa and parts of Oklahoma on the wild weather that we saw the last couple of days, Darren.
Yeah, we certainly did. And I appreciate that, Jesse. I know we avoided any damage directly here. And it wasn't very far west where it was extensive damage. So yeah, certainly thoughts are with them just a little bit west of where we are. But it was quite a storm. It did take me back to my old days of, you know, growing up in Kansas where, you know, these things became almost commonplace at this time of year. But still, it's just amazing what Mother Nature can do when she gets sets her mind to it.
Yeah, it is. It's just the devastation. The pictures you see, the video, it is quite shocking to take a look at. Well, I know with those systems as well, a lot of rain here across parts of the Corn Belt. I know that's going to be one piece of the market discussion this week, but also it's Fed week on Wall Street, so that's always another piece of market discussion, and it's coming in here as we get to the end of the month of April and start the month of May, Darren.
Absolutely. Yeah, we'll start with the U.S. financial markets, and as you said, here at the end of the week, we get the latest jobs data here early in the week. We have the FOMC meeting, and as I look at the Fed Fund futures forward curve, it's telling me that probably, you know, we shouldn't expect any changes, probably not until the late July meeting, if not the mid-September meeting. So, you know, it looks like we're going to hold rates steady at this point, unless the markets change. So there's going to be a lot made of this. There's going to be a lot made of the non-farm payroll and unemployment numbers at the end of the month. Those things are worth more entertainment than they are information. And then in between, we have the switch of the calendar page from April to May, and the old saying, sell in May and go away. I need to do the seasonality on that, but I don't think it's quite accurate, but I know it's just one of those things that the market likes to say.
Well, thinking about the impact here in the grain markets, obviously we'll be watching the money flow, but you think about the rain maybe slowing down some of this planting progress here across the country, cold temperatures in some parts as well. For anything that's been in the ground, we're going to need to get some heat on some of this crop that's already been planted. But overall, these grain markets, for the most part, remained in an uptrend last week. At least the wheat markets did.
Yeah.
Your thoughts on this grain and oilseed trade right now as we get to the end of the month and into May?
Yeah, I don't see it right now as a planting delay situation. I think as we look at where the rains fell, you know, particularly Minnesota, Iowa, Missouri, this part of area, you know, even parts of Nebraska, there's some very dry areas. And so I think they welcomed the moisture that they've seen. Looking at the soil moisture charts, we've seen some improvement the last couple of weeks. not a big surprise. Now we'll see what happens as we move forward. The U.S. producers can cover a lot of ground in a very short period of time. So I know there's going to be a great deal made about typical, you know, possible planting delays. To me, it's just not an issue. I think the big thing, you know, we saw some of it overnight. Again, the Midwest got a great deal of rain. We saw Chicago wheat, Chicago new crop, soft red winter wheat down at 12 cents. You know, it's bounced back a little bit. It's going to bounce back and forth. I think the biggest thing right now is we're just kind of in this holding pattern. We're going to wait to see what develops over the coming weeks. As you said, we are moving into May. We are going to get into a heavier planting time of year. We're going to get into a busier growing season for winter wheat market. So a lot still ahead of us. But right now, the key issue is that was some beneficial rain that fell over the weekend.
CFTC data out on Friday, of course. We've been tracking the position of the funds. That, along with, I know, first notice day here on Tuesday for May contracts as well. I think all of that combined with end of the month activity could maybe lead these grains to some positioning here in the next couple of sessions, Darren?
Yeah, it's possible. You know, we saw a big round of non-commercial short covering in corn as of last Tuesday, and then the markets rallied after that. So, excuse me, they stayed pretty flat after that. So we didn't see as much towards the end of the week. We did continue to see some buying in the wheat market. So across the board in the grains and oil seeds, we did see some short covering. It could continue this week. If it doesn't, I mean, if all of a sudden the funds are saying, look, you know, we're looking forward at the weather, we're looking at the spreads, we're looking at basis and all this, and there's no reason for us to get overly bullish, we can continue to hold these short positions. There is some room for these markets to move lower once again.
How about over in the livestock trade here, Darren, real quick? Cattle off to an okay start here on Monday. Hogs a little bit to the downside, maybe seeing some of that spread action that we saw at the end of last week continue here. I know, too, these federal orders for dairy cattle testing officially go into effect here on Monday from USDA. So the bird flu in the news cycle, of course, still kind of an lying in the background here, so to speak, in this cattle market, I think.
It is. And what's interesting is, we saw the knee-jerk reaction in the cattle markets the first couple of days, a couple times the headlines broke. But they've worked themselves out. And in fact, we saw cash cattle actually start to firm again last week. We saw box beef firm at the end of the week. So, the market seems to absorb it, at least for now, at least until the next shoe drops. The one I've been watching is the dairy market. And to me, it seems to have been on pins and needles, waiting for this next round of headlines. So, you know, it did come under pressure and it has stabilized. It's a little bit stable here again this morning to start the week. I think that's where we really need to watch to see if there's going to be any longer term reaction to all this news of the avian influenza.
Real quick, gold, that market, we were talking about how volatile it's been, and it seems like as of late, gold's gotten kind of quiet on us.
It has. It's in an interesting consolidation pattern here. And, you know, from a purely technical point of view, looking at the daily chart, it looks like it's getting ready for another breakdown. But again, all of this financial news, the financial traders are going to make a move one way or the other. We're going to see the dollar move. We're going to see reactions. So it's going to be a very iffy week going forward in the gold market. But from a technical point of view, certainly looks like there's still some downside risk.
Darren, always great to talk with you. Thanks for joining us this week on AOA. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on again, Jesse.
Darren Newsome, Senior Market Analyst there at Bar Chart, joining us on AOA, brought to you by Cenex Premium Lubricants. We'll talk with DTN meteorologist John Baranek on the way right after this. Join us every Tuesday for Around the Table, brought to you by CHS, as we discuss how cooperatives support farmers and ranchers and build strong communities. Each week, we'll chat with voices from throughout the cooperative system. From global market access to local expertise, we'll explore how co-op ownership means you own a world of opportunities. Tune in on Tuesdays or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more.
A careless driver can change your life in an instant. Do you know what to do or who to call? If you've been injured in a motor vehicle accident and don't have an attorney, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free consultation. We can answer all of your questions and estimate the potential value of your case. Call Auto Accident Help Desk and connect with an expert personal injury attorney.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
don't worry how to handle your medical bills, lost wages, and pain. We will get you the money you deserve.
They got me way more than the insurance company offered.
The consultation is free, and you don't pay any legal fees unless we win or settle your case. Make the smart call if you've been injured in an auto accident. Call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free legal consultation. Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Auto Accident Help Desk.
When news happens in agriculture or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
The impact of a meal goes well beyond feeding our bodies. Because when people don't have to worry about where their next meal is coming from, they can truly thrive. Like Marta.
And now we'll hear from our class valedictorian, who with her hard work never ceases to amaze us. Please welcome Marta Moreno.
And Alex.
Hey, Alex, how did the interview go?
I did it! I got the job! I can't believe it!
I knew it. Let's meet up later to celebrate.
And Diego.
Mom! I got first place at the science fair with my volcano project!
That's amazing, sweetie. Congratulations!
Because when people are fed, futures are nourished, and everyone deserves to live a full life. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now. feedingamerica.org/act now. A public service announcement brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America, brought to you by Cenex. After long days in the field, equipment is subject to wear. Cenex Premium Lubricants will help keep equipment protected. Learn more at cenex.com. We touched on this a little bit in the open of the show with Darren Newsom. He's in that Omaha area where they had some pretty devastating tornadoes into parts of southwest and western Iowa. We saw devastation in Oklahoma as well. Pretty wild weekend of weather. Let's get caught up on the latest surrounding all of that and more. Joining us now, DTN meteorologist John Baranek. John, thanks for being with us. And I'm guessing you had a pretty busy, eventful weekend tracking all of the severe weather and devastation across parts of the plains of the Corn Belt.
Yeah, we really did, Jesse. I mean, I knew it was going to be an active weekend, but holy cow, we saw all sorts of, you know, crazy weather going on. A couple of my colleagues went out and chased some of those tornadoes out there in Nebraska and Iowa, and you know, seeing some of the damage and the devastation that kind of ripped through some of those areas is really sad. And you know, your heart goes out to everybody that is affected by the damage. But you know, on the plus side, a lot of these areas got some needed rainfall too. I mean, just everything was thrown at us across the middle of the country. And you know, some good, some bad, and we'll just have to kind of, you know, deal with it as it moves on. Right. Cause we still have an active spring pattern going on here for the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, we do. And I, you know, thoughts with folks, you know, in Minden, Iowa there, I saw the devastation, and in Oklahoma, I believe Sulphur, and, you know, around the Omaha area, just it's amazing, John, what can happen. Darren said this in segment one, when Mother Nature, you know, gets enough juice and gets this feeling, you know, surrounding her, so to speak, just how devastating some of this destruction can be when everything lines up in the atmosphere to create these supercell thunderstorms and massive tornadoes, right?
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of these areas, they're, I wouldn't say used to it, but you know, you hear about this happening in these areas all the time, but it never gets easier, right? Every time it happens, it's just another heartbreaking loss to somebody, whether if it's their property damage, you know, their schools, the infrastructure that goes on there, or their lives. And, you know, it's just, it's hard to come to grips with, when Mother Nature really wants to show her anger and, kind of brings things through, and when we don't want it to.
No, that's very, very true. Well, you mentioned on the plus side of this, if we could take something good away, was that we've seen some pretty meaningful rainfall in many areas, and looks like we're getting some more of that here early in the week, moving into parts of Illinois and parts of the Deep South, maybe a little too much rain in some areas in the Deep South, possibly. But overall, I mean, talk about the rainfall and how this has helped out some of the soil moisture profile, John.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the region as a whole, we saw a lot of good widespread rainfall for most areas. And, you know, it was a lot more gentle and a lot less chaotic for those farther north, you know, outside of Nebraska and Iowa, where we saw the heavy thunderstorms. What we saw was a lot of, you know, widespread 1 to 2, maybe 3 inches of rainfall. You know, there's some parts of Nebraska late last week that saw 4 to 6 in there. And, you know, some areas saw less than an inch in there. But, you know, it was generally a good, solid, steady, moderate to sometimes heavy rainfall over those areas. And that was great for them. Across the far south, it came with a lot of streaks of thunderstorms. So Oklahoma, Texas, we already talked about, you know, some of the devastation there. But, you know, outside of those streaks of really heavy rainfall, it was a lot of, again, 1 to 2, 1 to 2, 1 to 3 inches of rainfall down there. And that's good for them. It was kind of those folks in the middle, eastern Kansas and especially Missouri, where they got hit by everything. And, you know, those, the rainfall really piled up in there, and we really got too much rainfall there in Missouri, especially. We saw a lot of widespread 2 to 4 inches of rain, 3 to 6. And there were some streaks in there of more than 8 inches, from far eastern Kansas into west central, Missouri and into the Ozarks as well, got some more over 6 inches. So there's a lot of areas out there that just saw too much. And we've got some flood warnings and you know, concerns about all the flooding out there. And we've got more on the way. But, you know, outside of those areas that did see some flooding, this rainfall was surely needed. And, you know, we're sitting at some really long-term deficits across Missouri of, you know, 4 to 6 inches over the, or I'm sorry, 12 to 15 inches over the last 4 years. Mm-hmm. So this is really going to help eat into that. You know, it's not the way you want to do it all at once, but you know, it's at least allowing for some of these streams to get a little bit more full, soil moisture profiles to really fill up a bit. And you know, outside of the planting delays, which is, you know, an unfortunate consequence of some heavy rain, we're setting ourselves up with some good soil moisture here once we do get that seed in the ground, if you haven't gotten it in already.
We are talking with DTN meteorologist John Baranek here today on AOA. John, as far as the calendar, I know we're getting ready to flip into the month of May. I don't think we're necessarily talking massive concern about planting delays yet, but I know as we get into the month of May, looking for planting windows here, it still seems like we got a bit of an active pattern here for the week ahead. So how are things shaping up here the early part of the month of May? Are we going to get some planting windows to get some of this spring planting finished here, John?
Gee, that's a big concern here, Jesse. You know, so we got the moisture we kind of needed, and I think we'd be good for a while if we had, you know, a few dry days, but that's not in the cards. We've got a very active pattern continuing for the next week and a half, at least probably 2 weeks here through mid-May. And it's just system after system with, you know, a day maybe between some of these breaks in the showers. Otherwise, it's almost continuous across the central U.S. And, you know, that's not really what we'd like to see. You know, at least we're still early enough where, you know, we're not concerned about yield loss yet from being able to plant a little bit late. But if we can't get this kind of train to stop rolling after, you know, May 10th or so, we might be having some more significant issues. And if we see that kind of extending beyond that time period there, then I'd be a lot more concerned. At the moment I'm not, and I think it's more beneficial to get this rainfall into the ground than to not have it, because we don't know exactly what's going to happen this summer. But, you know, our DTN forecast is for hotter and drier conditions for most of the country, so it'd be good to get this rain in. But we just can't have it last too long. And as we look kind of at the second half of May there, it still looks a little chaotic, and you know, that may not mean a bunch of really strong storm systems that bring widespread heavy thunderstorms like we saw over the weekend. But you know, if it continues to just keep, you know, all the equipment back in the shed, we might be concerned here a little bit. So I'm keeping my eyes on it. I'm trying to find out if you know, if it's just going to be some nuisance showers moving through that we'll be able to work work against, or if it's going to be something that continues the heavy rainfall flooding risk. We don't really know that for sure yet, but that's something that's definitely throwing up some red flags at the moment.
John, let's wrap up with South America. I know Brazil, the wet season effectively over. Maybe a little concerned about a lack of soil moisture in Brazil's Safrida Court areas. Meantime, Argentina just kind of seeing some precipitation waffle around, it looks like. Any notes for us in South America?
Yeah, really what we're seeing, Jesse, is you're right, is Central Brazil's rain season's over. They really haven't had a drop of rain here in over a week, and there's nothing really in the forecast. So their temperatures too are, because they don't have any rain, are pretty high. They're seeing daily highs in the 90s. So full sun and 90 degrees is not a good way to finish out your corn crop. But you know, they did build up some subsoil moisture there at the tail end of the season, but it's really not going to be enough. As the days go on, I think we'll start hearing more and more about how there's issues down there for that Safrina crop. May not look real bad right now, but give it time, give it a couple weeks, and I think we'll see that. And then in southern Brazil and northern Argentina, they got this just front just waffling through the region here over this week and probably next week as well. That's going to bring a heck of a lot of rainfall down there to that far southern end of Brazil, which is trying to harvest its corn and soybeans and plant some winter wheat. And they're going to have some difficult conditions doing that. Argentina is going to have some issues with that as well. And they might even see some frosty conditions here later this week with some cold air building in behind that front. So lots of weather issues going on across South America at the moment. And that at least gives us some support in the markets up here. I don't think a lot of people up here are going to be too concerned about, you know, some troubles down there for those in South America. They had some good conditions here earlier this year.
Yeah, I think if that'll help support the markets up here, of course, there'll be some happy growers for sure. Well, I know folks can stay up to date with the latest weather details, dtnpf.com. And with that, DTN meteorologist John Baranek. John, it's always good to talk with you. Thanks again for joining us here this week on AOA. We appreciate it.
Always happy to be with you, Jesse, and good talking to you. Thank you.
John Baranek with DTN joining us here today on AOA, brought to you by Cenex. Long hours is the name of the game for fleet operators and farmers and ranchers. Cenex Premium Diesel will help to keep your trucks and equipment, your tractors on the road. Learn more online at cenex.com. Up next, we'll talk with the 2024 Realtors Land Institute National President, Sam Bowers. Join us on the way after this on AOA, Agriculture of America.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready, and health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-760-9937. That's 800-760-9937. 800-760-9937.
You're listening to AOA. I'm Jody Heemstra with this check at agricultural market information from the American Ag Network. Corn. Sometime this week, the Environmental Protection Agency is expected to give an update on the GREET model, which will detail carbon credit eligibility for sustainable aviation fuel from ethanol. It will lay the groundwork for which ethanol could be in line for tax credits for sustainable aviation fuel. U.S. corn export sales continue to run at a high level, and it's likely that the U.S. Department of Agriculture will have to raise the yearly export total in future reports, with much thanks to our number one buyer, that being Mexico. Ethanol production in the U.S. has slipped by 11% in the past 3 weeks. That is, plants take some downtime for maintenance and margins are thin. The basis has been steadily rising on corn, with that trend expected to continue as farmers get into the fields planting more. Soybeans over the weekend, heavy rain led to flooding in some areas, including Missouri. Weekend storms hit areas from Iowa down to Dallas. Early Monday, rain is falling again in part of Missouri into Illinois and Indiana, and also across the Southern Delta. There's still the mystery of the huge discrepancy on soy production for Brazil, that discrepancy between the U.S. Department of Ag and its Brazilian counterpart, CONAB. CONAB has a soy crop that's nearly 9 million metric tons lower than USDA's estimate. Wheats, unfortunately, the hard red winter wheat areas are still expected to remain mostly dry. On Monday's crop progress report, likely to see another 1 to 2 point decline in the good to excellent ratings on winter wheat. The soft red areas of the east are a different story, continuing to receive plentiful rain there. Russian wheat values continue to be the benchmark for world wheat demand, and despite the weather issues noted for new crop Russian wheat, big old crop supplies have kept the lid on the free on board values. That's markets. I'm Jody Heemstra.
My name is Ariel. When I arrived in the U.S. at 19, I struggled to find job opportunities without my high school diploma. My entire life changed when I took a chance and got my high school diploma at age 22. Everything I have, my education, my career, my marriage, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and my teachers. They were with me every step of the way, helping with my English and math, making sure I pushed through all the challenges.
Ariel, your success proves that what I'm doing as a teacher has real meaning.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
Education was the key that unlocked all my opportunities.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America, brought to you by Cenex, premium diesel and premium lubricants. Trust your local experts at your nearest Cenex location or visit them online at cenex.com for more. Well, recently, the Realtors Land Institute has released their 2023 land market survey. It's a partnership with the National Association of Realtors and RLI. We're going to talk about that, talk about some of the trends in ag land values and more. Joining us now for a conversation, he is the RLI National President with Bowers and Burns Real Estate Company, accredited land consultant. Sam Bowers is with us here on AOA. Sam, thanks so much for joining us on the show. Hope you're doing well.
I am. I'm glad to be here. I look forward to talking about land value, especially since that's what I do. So yeah. I'm excited to be on your program, and let's get going.
Well, let's dive in here. And as I kind of reference this new land market survey, you know, not just on the ag side, but really I think across real estate in general, whether it's commercial, industrial, residential, you name it. A lot of talk here since really the pandemic about just land sales and prices, et cetera. Maybe just start with that 2023 survey and give us kind of the big overview of maybe what were some of the big takeaways from that land market survey, Sam?
Well, you know, from my standpoint, what I saw coming out of it is that it's land prices are still increasing. The increases are not as large as they were in during COVID and right as COVID was coming to an end, but land prices are still going up. And when I talk to a number of our RLI members that are more ag-based, corn, beans type brokers, you know, everyone was thinking that interest rates were going to have a big impact, and commodity prices were going to have a big impact on land values, be it ag, recreational timberland, and we really have not seen that. The biggest impact, and that came out of the survey too, and I hear this from brokers talking around the country, to me, the biggest thing that's impacting the land market right now is inventory. Inventory levels are very tight, be it at ag land, commercial, residential development land, across the board. The amount of property that is on the market right now is nowhere near what it has been in the past. And that is, I think, having a big impact on land values across the board right now.
And I'm glad you framed it up that way, because I was very curious about that. I mean, for instance, my wife and I are looking to buy our first home, you know, and I know with that, we kind of have a lot of concerns with the housing market. Feels like a lot of folks are hanging on to their homes versus putting them on the market and searching for a new one right now. You couple that with what you mentioned on the ag side, you know, just it doesn't feel like there's a lot of that inventory across the spectrum coming available right now. And I wonder, is it the high interest rate, inflationary type environment maybe playing a big role here? Is it something else? I mean, what are your thoughts really across the board here, Sam?
Well, I feel like that people that have been looking to cash in on their property, sell their property, most of them have already brought their property to the market because of record high prices. And so we're sort of over a wave. That wave is crested. And people are holding on to what they've got. But one of the biggest things I'm hearing is what am I going to replace it with? If I sell this tract of land, what am I going to buy to replace it with? Now, we are seeing more 1031 exchanges right now, and have been over the last probably 6 months to a year than we had prior to that. So I think people that are looking for replacement property, it's sort of feeding on itself. The inventory is low, and people are still thinking about maybe selling, but what am I going to replace it with when the inventory is so low, there's not really something to replace their property with. From a home standpoint, you know, we're in a record shortage of housing units in the United States. And what we're hearing from economists, I'm not sure when we're going to catch up with that because of the backlog right now. So I think people were going to cash out, have cashed out. And I think that, you know, people are waiting to see, if I sell this, what am I going to buy, kind of attitude.
No, and that all makes sense. Very, very good thoughts there. And, you know, you mentioned with what you've heard from economists, you know, will we catch up anytime soon, especially in the housing side? I think that remains to be seen as you guys, you know, look at the 2023 survey and then kind of where we're at now in 24 and looking ahead. Do you foresee any big changes in trends here throughout the rest of this year? Or is that dependent on outside factors like whatever the Fed does, et cetera, et cetera?
I think a lot of it's going to be outside factors. If you look at the survey, and then I look at what we see every day, and what we do is I don't see a big change. I see the trend of land prices continuing to move up at a more reasonable pace. And I think that's what the survey showed. It was not these huge jumps that we saw a couple of years ago, but it was more sustainable growth. And I think we're seeing that all over the country, in all the different sectors of the land business, is there's still growth there. You know, it's not double digit, but it is still, there's still improvement in prices year after year. And, with what the feds do, you know, who knows? Also the other variable is we're in a national election year. Historically, I've been in the real estate business for about 35 years, And historically, when we have a presidential, contested presidential election, we usually do see the market pull back some because people wait to see what, you know, what administration is going in. And, you know, I think we will still see that to some extent, but I don't know how much of an impact that's going to have this year.
We are talking with Sam Bowers. He is the 2024 Realtors Land Institute National President. Sam, as you look state by state, any big trends you guys saw in the 2023 land market survey in terms of states that were maybe seeing more land sales versus others? Could you talk about that aspect for us a little bit?
Well, what came out of the survey was the largest share of land sales was, you know, California, Texas, Georgia, Florida, and Colorado. They accounted of our survey, they accounted for 37% of the land sales. You know, people, the general public, when you talk to the general public and you talk about agriculture in California, that's sort of the class over. They don't really connect how big of an ag presence California has. And there's a tremendous amount of ag land in California. And that market is still very strong. Again, you know, water out there is an issue, just like with Colorado. But you know, the south, southeastern part of the United States is growing rapidly. And I think that was showing in the land survey with Florida, Georgia especially. And Georgia, not only from a residential development standpoint, but also timberland. Those four states, let's see, the five states made up the bulk of the transactions and I think that plays out pretty well to what the market is outside of the survey too.
And real quick, thinking state by state as well, great points there, especially about the ag land in California and some things that we kind of forget about sometimes. You know, thinking about like the I states though too, I mean, we continue to see record land sales or very high price sales of good farm ground in say Iowa, Illinois, et cetera. It feels like that trend is still kind of continuing, maybe. What's your thoughts there?
It is. I had a conversation with Luke Worrell, our past president, and I think Illinois has just released their ag land survey, and it was up. I want to say it was up 9%. Don't hold me to that. I think that's what he said. But he said, you know, it wasn't going up again in those big jumps, but it is still that ag land market is very strong. And it's funny because my question to him was, is what's the impact of commodity prices? Because commodity prices have been taking a hit. And he said, you know, they would have thought looking in a rearview mirror, looking in the past, that interest rates and commodity prices would have had a bigger impact on ag land value. And they have not seen that so far. Again, his comment is what I said earlier. The biggest impact has been supply inventory.
Well, definitely a lot of things to keep an eye on. And we're going to put a link to the 2023 land market survey on our socials and web as well. And really appreciate the conversation. I know folks also could find details at rliland.com. And with that, the National President for the Realtors Land Institute, Sam Bowers. Sam, great discussion. Thanks for joining us here on AOA today. And we'll have to get you back on the show again in the future. Thanks so much.
I would love to. Thank you very much.
And once again, Sam Bowers there, the 2024 Realtors Land Institute National President, joining us here on AOA today. The show brought to you by Cenex. Every minute matters on the construction site. Bulk diesel fuel storage can boost productivity and maximize ROI. Learn more at your local Cenex location or visit cenex.com for more information. We'll wrap up the program on the way right after this.
We're with Bridget, whose husband won't be home for months, and whose daughter is due any day. We're with Mike, who's leaving home to protect his family and yours. We're with all service members and their families who need community, connection, and maybe a bit of magic. Are you with them? Learn more at USO.org today. We're with Liam, after his fourth military move, when being new is starting to get old. We're with Tara during the holidays, when she misses home the most. We're with all service members and their families who need connection, comfort, and a home away from home. Are you with them? Learn more at USO.org today.
Farming is dangerous. There's dangers all around us. We work around it and we live around it every day. And we just become desensitized to what's around us.
We go through safety training and, you know, we try and do these things to make sure accidents don't happen, but you just never know.
There are so many farmers that I think take for granted all of the underground utilities that are there.
You don't want to hit a gas pipe because that's your life. The other part of it is if you hit certain things, you're liable for it.
I mean, we kind of know what's out here, but all at the same time, you just always call.
FarmSafe 811 starts with you. Whether you're installing drain tile or doing any sort of digging, always call 811 and wait for any underground lines to be marked and have the depth confirmed. That's farming with care. But if a line does get damaged, go somewhere safe and call 911.
Always keep safety in the back of your mind. Just stay humble.
For more information, go to farmsafe811.org.
We've been fighting the war on drugs for a long time. We answer the phone 24/7, 365 days a year. On a busy night, we answer hundreds of calls. This war on drugs needs our intervention.
Since 2014, Addiction Hope and Helpline has helped people struggling with drugs and alcohol.
When the phone rings, we help people when they need it the most. When we get a caller into treatment, it feels good. It's a blessing.
If you're struggling, drinking, using, and need to get clean, don't suffer alone in silence. Call Addiction Hope and Helpline.
Our people understand, and many are also in recovery. Call for support and strength. You can call for someone who can't or isn't willing. It's an act of love. Together, we can help you beat this thing and erase addiction from your vocabulary once and for all.
Call 800-320-1993. That's 800-320-1993. 800-320-1993.
When news happens in agriculture or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
As planting season begins across the country, the American Seed Trade Association reminds farmers to follow the basic steps for seed treatment stewardship. Follow directions on seed container labeling. Eliminate weeds in the field prior to planting. Minimize dust by using advanced seed flow lubricants. Be aware of honeybees and hives located near the field. Ensure that any spilled seeds are removed or covered by soil to protect wildlife and the environment. And remove all treated seed left in equipment. For more information, visit seed-treatment-guide.com or contact your seed dealer.
And we're back, looking at another lopsided matchup, Jim. Today we have a combine taking on a train.
Yeah, that heavy train is about 1,000 times heavier than the combine. No competition there.
Right, especially given that it'll take at least a mile to stop that train.
That's 18 football fields.
It's no contest. Every day people are injured or killed trying to beat a train at rail crossings. See tracks, think train.
This message brought to you by Operation Lifesaver.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America, brought to you by our friends at Cenex. Cenex Premium Diesels and Premium Lubricants. Trust your local experts at your nearest Cenex location or visit them online at cenex.com. Well, joining us now here on the program, we want to talk about 50 years being celebrated for the Independent Cattlemen's Association of Texas. They're going to be hosting their convention coming up this summer in the early part of July in the state at the San Marcos Hotel Conference Center. We're going to talk about this as we're joined now by their executive director, Cooper Little, is with us here on the show. Cooper, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate the time. Hope you're doing well.
Thanks, Jesse. Thanks for having me on. Doing pretty good, and hope you're doing well yourself.
I can't complain. I cannot complain. Things are good here. Let's talk about the annual convention, a trade show coming up this July 1st through the 3rd. Again, celebrating 50 years, 50th anniversary. Such a great milestone to celebrate, isn't it, Cooper?
That's right, Jesse. It certainly is. We're extremely proud for this organization to have come as far as it has for 50 years, half a century. Kind of wild to think. It is our semi-centennial, so to speak, our golden anniversary, and we're expecting a pretty large turnout, large attendance, over 60 trade show vendors. It's going to be a heck of an event, and we're pleased to offer several CEU credits for your pesticide applicator licenses. So come on down July 1st through the 3rd, San Marcos, Texas, for the ICA 50th Annual Convention and Trade Show.
Well, and you talk about attendance, and I know some of the confirmed speakers already. You guys have a pretty great lineup of who's going to be speaking during the convention. Talk about that a little bit for us, Cooper.
Absolutely. Well, we have a slew of excellent speakers that are going to be speaking the entirety of those 3 days. We have the infamous Dr. Pascal. He's a retired beef cattle specialist, the former executive director of ABBA, and just a gentleman with a large amount of knowledge in the beef cattle industry. So folks looking to be educated, he's a great speaker to listen to. Of course, we also have the executive vice president of the Texas Beef Council, Molly McAdams. We're pleased to have her giving us a beef council update, as well as a lot of elected officials. Your state rep could possibly be there. Different members of the Texas congressional delegation. We have a railroad commissioner, Jim Wright, who's given a session on Rule 8, as well as discussing the orphan well issue in Texas. Of course, our Texas Agriculture Commissioner, Sid Miller, he's going to be one of our headlining speakers July 1st, that first night there in San Marcos. We're still building out the schedule right now, but you know, that's not all of it. We also, of course, have Corbett Wall with DV Auctions, the host of Feeder Flash, and Doc Thompson, the host of Doc Talk on RFD TV, who gives an excellent, excellent speech, and he's going to be coming down. But the list is going to continue to grow, so sign up today.
So many great folks going to be on that agenda, and I know folks can learn more, icatexas.com. And Cooper, talk about, beyond the speakers, some of the different topics that will no doubt be discussed at the convention. I know there's plenty of various hot topics throughout the cattle and beef industries right now. What are some things that you expect to be highlights of discussions during the convention?
You bet. Well, that's the whole purpose of this convention, is to get like-minded producers, provide an opportunity for them to get in the room and have a discussion. You know, it's our 50th anniversary, so we're going to spend this convention looking in the rear view of the past 50 years and then looking ahead of the windshield and discussing where we see the future of Texas agriculture, where we see the beef cattle industry headed, and how we all play our part in heading that direction together. You know, and I mention that because a lot of the issues that is going to be discussed and highlighted are the same issues that's been talked about for 50 years. identification issues, mandatory identification, mandatory electronic identification issues, country of origin labeling, transparency in marketing, transparency in the label, of so we can accurately market our products, but so we're doing duty to our consumers and being transparent with the product that they're giving us dollars for. Those are going to be some two big issues, but state and local issues, of course, private property rights are a big issue. We're likely to have a speaker on the feral hog issue, feral hog eradication program, and also a CEU on the feral hog eradication program.
So many different topics to discuss, no doubt. And I know, again, folks can learn more, icatexas.com, to attend the 50th anniversary of the Independent Kettlemen's Association of Texas convention coming up here July 1st through the 3rd. Cooper, before we let you go, anything final you want to share or reiterate to folks as they think about getting prepared to attend the convention?
Just that all producers are welcome. We'd love to welcome you into the association. We'd certainly love your participation and your attendance at this event. And let's all discuss where we'd like to see the industry headed in the next 50 years. Go ahead and call our office if you have any trouble at all at 512-620-0162 or email us at TICA@ICATexas.com. Of course, visit our website, and we hope to see you at convention July 1st through the 3rd, San Marcos, Texas. Thanks, Jesse.
You bet. Thank you very much. Again, Cooper Little, the Executive Director of the Independent Cattlemen's Association of Texas. Learn more about them and their upcoming 50th anniversary convention at icatexas.com. We're out of time here on AOA today, brought to you by Cenex. Every minute matters on the farm and on the operation. Bulk diesel fuel storage can boost productivity and maximize ROI. Learn more at Cenex.com. I'm Jesse Allen. Thanks for listening. Have a great rest of your day.
More than 200 members of Congress are standing up for AM radio listeners. The AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act will keep AM radio in cars, because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to pass this critical legislation now.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
"I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong."
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I like a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
A promise is potent. Born of intention, fueled by commitment, it's seeing things through, always showing up. And we know a thing or two about promises here at Susan G. Komen. Over 40 years ago, we locked arms with you toward one vision, a world without breast cancer. By investing in life-saving research and standing up for patient rights, we are shifting the system so all people everywhere get the care they deserve. Because if you've just been diagnosed and don't know where to turn, we've got you. If you can't afford the treatment you need, we've got you. And if you are driven to raise money to honor the best friend you've just lost, we have a place for you here. Because of you, we're supporting those who need help today while tirelessly searching for tomorrow's cures. Ending breast cancer needs all of us. Visit Komen.org and be a part of the Susan G. Komen community today.